for the information of visitors whom we are very glad to welcome to our service this morning. I want to say that we have been making a study in detail of the 23rd Psalm, and we come this morning to verse 5. Psalm number 23, verse 5. The Shepherd's Provision. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. So many of the verses of the 23rd Psalm that we have studied have shown the Good Shepherd meeting the special needs of his people. For example, from the pressures of life, he leads them to green pastures and by quiet waters. He is with his people caring for them in the dark valley of depression and in the dark valley of death. But we're not always faced with special problems and special difficulties. For the most part, our lives go on in a steady and largely uneventful routine. Now, the message of today's verse is that for ordinary, everyday living, the Good Shepherd makes abundant provision for his people, not only in the extraordinary and the special circumstances, but for ordinary, everyday living, the Good Shepherd makes abundant provision for his people. It is indeed significant that the Hebrew word for shepherd means one who feeds his flock, one who provides pasture for them. And the indictment of the false shepherds in Ezekiel 34, we read about them last Sabbath, the indictment of the false shepherds was that they were failing to do that. Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? And there's a play in words there. The pastor should pasture the flock, but instead of feeding them, he's feeding himself. But the Good Shepherd sees as his basic function in the same chapter making provision for the sheep. Ezekiel 34, 14 and 15, I will feed them in a good pasture. I will feed my flock, saith the Lord God. The work of the shepherd is to feed his flock. And our Good Shepherd makes provision for his people. He makes provision for his people all through life, and indeed beyond life here. For Revelation chapter 7, verse 17, sees Christ seated upon the throne, still providing for his people. The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and literally it says, shall shepherd them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. All through life, and on into eternity, the Good Shepherd makes abundant provision for his people. Take that message to your heart today from this verse of the 23rd Psalm. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil. My cup runneth over. That is the provision that we can count on every day we live. And first of all, in our study of this verse, I want to look at the setting of the provision. The setting of the provision. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. That's where the provision is set. In the presence of mine enemies. That had a literal significance for many of us older folk in wartime. The strategy of Hitler's Germany in the Second World War was by all means to prevent food from reaching Britain. Planes and submarines did their utmost to hinder supplies of essential foods reaching these shores. But they failed. And in God's grace, this ancient word was fulfilled. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This word has a spiritual significance as well. And I want to underline that spiritual significance by noting two things. Two things that I think we need to be reminded of. And the first is this. The enemies are there. Don't ever forget that. The enemies are there. And they will do their utmost to prevent God's provision reaching his people. To take one example, if the devil and his forces can prevent us from receiving nourishment from the Word of God, they'll do it. If they can keep us back from the food that is here in God's Word, they're going to do it. The devil will try to keep us from our Bible reading. And when we do read the Word, he will try to distract, he'll try his utmost to distract our thoughts or to make us believe that the Word we read isn't for us, it's for somebody else. And he'll try to do the same in the public reading and preaching of the Word of God. Because he knows full well that a soul which is not receiving the nourishment of the Word will grow frail and weak and helpless. And so the devil will try his utmost to keep the food from getting through, just as Hitler did in the Second World War. If he can keep us away from the house of God on some pretext or other, he'll do it. And when we are there, and perhaps he's busy right now, he'll do his utmost to see that we get very little out of the service. The enemies are there. And they will do their utmost to prevent God's provision reaching his people. Perhaps even now. The enemies are there. But the second thing that I want you to note in thinking of the provision made in the presence of our enemies is that the Good Shepherd can make all the efforts of the enemy ineffective. He spreads a table for his people in front of their enemies, and that's what it means literally, in the presence of their enemies. He spreads a table for his people in front of their enemies, and they can only watch in chagrin and dismay as that provision is given and received. And that has happened here in this place, where the Good Shepherd, in spite of all the efforts of the enemy, has made provision for his people. Some of you have been kind enough to tell me that these studies in the 23rd Psalm have been God's word to you. It has happened here in this place. And please God, it can happen here again today. The Good Shepherd is concerned that his flock should be fed. And not all the forces of evil can finally hinder his provision, even for you. Whatever your need may be. But how can we be sure of that? How can we be sure that the Good Shepherd will make provision for us in the presence of our enemies? That brings me to the second thing I want to underline in our study of this verse, the arranging of the provision. The Hebrew word that's translated preparest here in the Authorized Version and furnished in the metrical version, my table thou hast furnished, means literally to arrange or to set in order. And the thought I want to leave with you is this. There's nothing haphazard about the provision that the Good Shepherd makes. It's all carefully arranged. It's all carefully prepared. The word that's used here is often used for the marshalling of armies and forces. The enemies may be marshalled. I want to tell you today that the Good Shepherd's provision is arranged and prepared as well. And that suggests three things that can bring comfort to our hearts today. The arranging of the provision. The first is security. Spurgeon, writing in this 23rd Psalm, makes the comment about this verse. Nothing is hurried. There is no confusion. No disturbance. The enemy is at the door. And yet God takes time to prepare a table. And the Christian sits down. and eats as if everything were in perfect peace. The good shepherd's careful arrangement of the provision means that we can do that. The enemies are there. But we can take time, and the good shepherd can take time to see that provision is arranged exactly suited to our need. Even in the face of the enemy, we can dwell securely and be at peace. The good shepherd's arranging of the provision means security. Second thing involved in the good shepherd's arranging of the provision is sacrifice. The Hebrew word that's translated prepare here is found in another very significant setting. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 9, in the story of Abraham's willingness to sacrifice his son Isaac, we read, and they came to the place that God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. Now, it's the same word. He arranged the wood and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Now, that preparation that Abraham had to make gives us some inkling of the cost to God of the preparation and the arranging that God had to make for us. It cost him the sacrifice of his son, the arranging of provision for you and me. Cost God the most, the best, and all he had in the sacrifice of his son. And that very wonderfully guarantees his provision for every need that we can have. Can I quote once again the verse from Romans 8? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The sacrifice of Christ guarantees provision for every other need. The sacrifice on Calvary is the guarantee of every provision for every need that we can have. Sacrifice. And the third thing in the Good Shepherd's arranging of the provision is sureness. Security, sacrifice, and sureness. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 5, the same as Psalm 23, verse 5, we find David rejoicing in the sureness of the covenant that God had graciously made with him. He says, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. The same word is here, arranged, prepared, ordered in all things, and sure. And I want to say to you today that we can be sure of God's provision every day we live, because behind that provision is God's everlasting covenant with his people. Again and again, when I have been discouraged, I have taken heart from words written many centuries ago by Samuel Rutherford. This is what he said. And so often I've taken heart from this. Often, often have I torn God's covenant with me, but he keeps the principle, the original, in heaven safe, and he stands by it always. God's covenant with his people is sure. And because of that, I can be sure of his provision always. The arranging of the provision means security, it means sacrifice, and it means sureness. The third thing that I want to underline in our study of this verse is the gladness of the provision. Thou anointest my head with oil. Now, anointing with oil was a symbol of festivity and joy. We read the story in Luke chapter 7 of Christ being invited to the house of Simon the Pharisee. Now, when Simon the Pharisee invited Jesus for a meal in his house, it should have been the occasion for a party. But Simon failed in the duties of hospitality, as Christ pointed out to him. And Christ specified this one failure to make the occasion a glad and happy one. My head with oil thou didst not anoint. Simon had made a meal, but he had omitted the accompaniment of gladness, the accompaniment of festivity and joy. The meal was there all right, but my head with oil thou didst not anoint. The good shepherd adds gladness to his provision. Thou anointest my head with oil. And that means, and here's a very practical application of it, that means that we will receive his provision each day with gladness. And I wonder if there are not many of us who fail just there. We receive provision from the good shepherd's hand day by day. But does the world around us see any gladness in our hearts because of it? Does the world around us see that we are glad, rejoicing people because every day we're trusting the good shepherd for provision? There was another psalmist who said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Even wet days, when the rain keeps on and on, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And well we might, for every day we live brings good, abundant provision from the good shepherd's hand. And it seems to me that one of the easiest, perhaps, and certainly one of the most effective forms of Christian witness is for the world to see the gladness of a Christian's life, the gladness of a Christian's heart. A greater gladness than the world can ever give or can ever know. Wouldn't that be a real advertisement of Christianity? If people could see in your life and mine a gladness that the world just doesn't know about and can never give. What is said of Christ in Psalm 45 is true also of all who are truly Christ's. God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And if that means anything, it means this, that the Christian is anointed with a gladness that outsiders don't have and don't know. God hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Is it true? And do we show it? The gladness of the Christian is a greater gladness than can be found anywhere else. Let it be shown in our lives as one evidence of our receiving the Good Shepherd's provision. If we have received it, then let the world see it in the gladness of our lives. The gladness of the provision. Thou anointest my head with the oil of gladness. And then finally, the superabundance of the provision. My cup runneth over. And quite literally it is, my cup is superabundance. Perfect satisfaction. You see, it's with no niggard hand that the good shepherd provides for his flock. My cup runneth over. It's overflowing. Not just a half-hearted giving, but an overflowing provision. And we find that again and again in the Psalms. He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. And it's the same word again here, thou anointest my head with oil. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Again and again, the psalmist sings of the abundant provision that God has made. And that even in times of trial and affliction and difficulty. It's not when things are going well that we acknowledge God's abundant provision. It's true in the midst of trial and affliction too. The writer of Psalm 66, for example, found that true. In verses 11 and 12 he writes, and here's the trial. Thou broughtest us into the net, Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But then he goes on. But thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. And it's the same word here. Thou broughtest us out into superabundance. Through fire and water, maybe. Through trial and affliction, maybe. And yet out into the superabundance of the Good Shepherd's grace. If only we would believe it, that the Good Shepherd makes superabundant provision for every need of every day. Thou preparest a table, and eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. In our Old Testament reading, we read from Psalm 78, the tragedy of Israel. And the tragedy of Israel was this, that God continually was making provision for their needs. They didn't believe it. They spoke against God, we read in Psalm 78, verse 19. They spoke against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And when you and I don't believe that God can meet our need, when you and I don't take the provision that God makes for our need, then we're speaking against God. Then we're guilty of the unbelief of the people of Israel that shut them out of the promised land. The people who said, can God provide a table in the wilderness? If you and I are not taking God's gift in Christ, and if you and I are not taking God's abundant provision for our needs every day, if you and I don't believe that God can meet our need, then we're speaking against God. But surely not. Surely not. Surely in face of the sacrifice of the Good Shepherd, surely in face of the abundant giving of the Good Shepherd, we will put our trust in him. We have seen again and again in our studies how personal this 23rd Psalm is. Not the Lord is our shepherd, but the Lord is my shepherd. He leadeth me, he restoreth me. And here's that personal note once more in verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me. Not for somebody else today, but for me. For you, whatever your need may be, thou preparest a table before me. How tragic it would be if any of us should go empty away when all the abundance, all the magnificence of the Good Shepherd's table is available for us. You can reach out now in faith to take that provision now, and to take that provision every day you live. And then you'll be able to say, and to mean it, and to mean all that's involved in it, the Lord is my shepherd. Thou preparest a table before me, in the presence of mine enemies, whatever they may be. Thou anointest my head with the oil of gladness. My cup runneth over. And to all eternity, the praise will belong to the Good Shepherd. Let us pray.